If I could ask the board members to take their seats, we could begin the meeting. I would note that Mr. Acosta has a meeting conflict with his own commission and cannot be here for the board meeting, but will be represented by Mr. Giancola. I have a approval of request to approve the minutes of the previous meeting of July the 25th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. We have public comment. We have, would ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We have 8 individuals who have signed up for public comment. I would remind the presenters that we have a 2-minute time limit for presentation, and that I will try to enforce that limit as we proceed. First is Dwayne McLean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Mr. McLean, and I want to speak to policy 7.4 with regard to background screening on Metro employees. I realize that public safety is the number one concern. I also believe that, you know, people change their life around. No one is incorrigible, and all that we can ask for individuals to try to, you know, turn their life around and do what's best and be a law-abiding citizen and part of society. And policies that affect people that's trying to change their life, you know, it makes them hard to, it makes it hard for them to come back into society and try to apply for good paying jobs. And especially policies that affect individuals that have been employed but were MATA for a number of years and retroactively come back in and say that we no longer need your services. Although, you know, if you've worked hard and, you know, you appreciate your job and, you know, you appreciate helping the public, but, you know, some individuals just don't want to give you a chance. But all I'm asking today is that, you know, just to take a look at the policy and, you know, see if there's anything that can be done to assist people that's trying to come back into society and do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Suzanne, Washington? There you go.
Thank you for doing such a nice job, everybody. And I wanted to quickly, with my reading glasses on, just ask you to develop some policies to address these things. Not a hodgepodge, but just some things that came to mind recently that may be worthy of your perusal and cognitive energies. Perception of safety, whether it be from theft or violent incidents or terrorism, if you could coordinate maybe an interagency response to make sure that you've got the ability to detect these situations as different as they are, and to coordinate some sort of meaningful, some sort of meaningful response if there was a theft or the violent knife attack at Adams Morgan or terrorism, cyber attack, such as a system takeover, some way to keep your autonomy no matter what, something to address that sort of situation, redundant backup systems, tech systems, tools, customized tools for first responders for crowd control, Twitter terrorism, coping with those sorts of situations, tech systems without detection, there's no avoidance of terrorism, interagency sensors, communication, computer system. So that you've got the maximum window of time to avoid a sarnia of IED in a backpack on a train, coordinating with Acela police, say somebody goes to Judiciary, to Union Station, to Penn Station in New York with a sarnia of backpack with IEDs. The things to be detected, whether it's IEDs, knife, gun, missile, nuke, gas, biohazard, hazmat, or pathogen, have you got flow meters in your stations? How quickly could a pandemic develop? Are you coordinating with World Health Organization, CDC, NIH? Crowd control, too, is mentioned. Amtrak is all mentioned. Am I done? Okay. Escape routes, other tracks to offer outs in extreme situations. Sounds weird, but cost savings, efficiencies, economies of scale, part sourcing, dangers of subcontracting, public safety and maintenance, et cetera, planning for extreme events. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Anthony Adams?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Anthony Adams. I also would like to speak on the background investigation. I was employed with Metro driving a bus for 8 years, and the background investigation found some misdemeanors, and I couldn't get my job back. But like Mr. McClain was saying, a lot of people didn't change their life around. It never affected my work performance. And, you know, people just trying to get in with Metro and also work for the work, and it's never affected your work performance. And to have them background investigators, I think is, you know, racially motivated and, you know, discriminatory, and it affects you. You have your life changed by not having your job, when it never affect your work performance, and it just makes it hard. I think it doesn't cause a problem if you work in your job, and why after working these many years you get a background investigation stop you from working. You know, I just wish that they look into it and see what they can do, because like I said, it never affected the work performance, and especially when it's not no hardened crime, no murder or no rape or misdemeanor. I just think it's racially motivated and discriminatory, and I wish y'all could just look into that, because it never affected the job, especially after working so many years for the background check to be able to take your job away from you and not be able to support your family and everything. It's just hard, and, you know, I just hope they look into it and give people a chance to, you know, to get their jobs, because I think it's, you know, it just makes it hard, you know. Comes from a whole different, you know, a background. People are trying to change their lives and everything, and once you get that chance and for something like a background check to interrupt what you want, it's never affect your work performance. I just think it's racially motivated. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Pomerantz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
With the Metropolitan Washington Public Health Association, and we are demanding that WMATA reverse its ban on hiring and retaining workers with criminal records. In December of 2011, Metro changed this policy and now refuses to hire people who have criminal records. And furthermore, they rerun background checks on people who've been fired or who leave on sick leave for extended periods of time, and then fire people with criminal records, even though they've served their time and their records have no impact on their performance. And I agree with Mr. Adams. This policy has a discriminatory and disproportionate impact on African American workforce at Metro and in the city. Because the war on drugs and the heavy police surveillance in African American neighborhoods, Black residents represent 8 out of 10 arrests in this city, as reported by the Washington Lawyers Committee on Civil Rights. 1 in 3 residents are involved in the criminal justice system, and 7,000 people will return from prisons and jails to D.C. looking for jobs and housing this year. Metro provides one of the best paying jobs in this city for working class people, and excluding these thousands of people from a good employment opportunity contributes to a staggering unemployment rate among Black residents of over 14% and among Black youth of over 40%. We demand that you overturn this policy. We're building a grassroots movement. We have 1,000 people who've signed petitions, and I've never seen a demand that has attracted so many people's interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Green. Shumam Abdulmanik.
Good morning, board members. My name is Shumam Abdulmanik, and I'm here to complain about your hiring policy. I'm an individual that applied for work on your internet website 9 different times. And each time I went, the highest level I went to was about preliminary screening or final screening. And each time, 9 times, I was not hired with no reason why. And it comes to find out you got a hidden policy that's not made available to people that's applying, that if they got a, I am a ex-returning citizen. I'm a returning citizen. I committed a crime before in 81. I did 12 years for it. I've been home 19 years. They took me off supervised parole. They took me off parole. That should account for something for growth and development in my character and personality to let you and society know that I am an individual that can conduct myself righteously and hold employment. I worked for Jack Valenti for 10 years until he passed. I worked at MC Dean for 3 years until I was laid off. But these hiring policies that you have to be changed or make it known that why people can't work. But it should account for something from a crime that was 30 years ago, not been out in society 19 years. And for you to not to, I've been shot down or not hired 9 times, to at least tell me why. If it was because of the policy that y'all had, let me know. But just to say nothing, that's discriminatory within itself. And you shouldn't have discriminatory practices against people that change their lives, returning citizen or anybody else, and especially employees that worked for you before. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Reginald Payne.
My name is Reginald Payne. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to answer the question of why. And the why is racism. The foundation of this system was built on racism and white supremacy. And I'm not going to talk about what's going on. I'm talking about why it's going on. And why it's going on is who's controlling the foreign and domestic policies of this country. And that is the same people that have been controlling our banking system since December 23rd, 1913. The Roman Catholic Church that changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. The same people that control everything, the media, our money and our minds. So it's racism. This system, this whole system was built on racism and white supremacy. The Freemasons, the other sororities and fraternities that's designed to divide the people, that are responsible for what's going on in this country and most of the world. It's capitalism. Capitalism is an evil system. Evil spelled backwards is live. And capitalism is anti-life. It draws the blood, life out of the poor and the working poor. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sydney Davis.
Good morning, board members. My concern specifically addresses background check. Not only the background check, but I think that some things can be done to modify and negotiate it and change and still get the results that is required. I'm saying take it off the table. modified so that it speaks to the complexities that we have external and the complexities that we address internally. I think it's necessary to serve the table with the union or with officials and have some input. I think it was done without the input of folk who, in fact, could have the input to say, no, it's too harsh. We cannot address the harshness of folk coming out of the bowels of these places, look at the interests of them being secure, supporting their families, without having some type of advocacy. And the whole entire process is based on advocacy. I sit here and I listen and I see and I talk to various individuals like Mr. Weaker, sit in his office and talk to him about some of these kind of complexities. I sit and I write to a lady like Muriel Bowser to talk about some of these kinds of things. But to not to address them in its entirety only perpetuates the continuation of the kind of thing that we're talking about getting rid of. And if we don't include, then we expand the disease that we want to try to harness and quarantine. And that is a public safety interest. But I'm asking and requesting that we have an opportunity to renegotiate the values and the content of this particular policy that's affecting so many other folks. Thanks.
Thank you. Normally, I don't respond to a series of presentations, but I do want to say, for those of you who were not in the previous committee meeting, that Ms. Bowser asked the general manager to prepare a comparison of our background policy, background check, and employee review policies with the member jurisdictions. The staff has said that they would do that and respond back to that request from Mrs. Bowser. So I wanted you to know that there's been some discussion of this issue, and there will probably be more review of the issue going forward. Report by the Access Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Sheehan isn't here today.
I noticed
he didn't
that.
Tell me he wasn't going to be here today. But if you'll put up with my reading a little bit, there are some important things while you were away in August vacationing that we did cover. We covered the smart trip recharging stations, and that's a real positive. If you know, we have had major discussions about the increased fare for using paper on buses, and things that we have asked for were more availability for getting smart trip cards and also more availability for loading smart trip cards outside of rail stations. And this is a major breakthrough. I mean, this is something that is terrific for the accessibility community, because now they will be able to use smart trip cards regularly. They will get the advantage of the transfers that are available with smart trip cards. So we really want to thank you for that. We had a very good discussion of what the proposal is, and it looks like the MATA staff is doing a super job putting it together and making all of these things accessible. We discussed the issues that the RAC brought up as potential problems, and they're being addressed by staff, and I think they're being addressed quite well by staff. So this is a real plus for the community, and thank staff and the board for moving forward with things that we asked for, and we'll no longer bug you to remove the surcharge on paper, because we've gotten something better than that. The other things that we discussed during that week were the evacuation poster. And again, we agree with the recommendations that were made of removing the Metro map from the evacuation poster, which us old senior citizens can't really see. We did make a suggestion that you use some other spaces on the car for placing the evacuation poster, because right now they're right over the parking spaces for the wheelchairs, and if people want to read them, they're going to be sitting in the lap of the wheelchair maker and not paying for a lap dance. One of the suggestions we made is advertising has made some really good moves, and they're putting signs up on the ceiling of the Metro card. And we suggested that might not be a bad place to put that, because during rush hour, You really can't see what's on the walls, but you can see what's up on the ceilings. So that was one of the suggestions that was made for the evacuation poster. And might put it next to those horrible, nasty things that are currently on the ceiling. If you see those, you're in trouble. Because that may lead to an evacuation. The other thing that we covered was Metro Access Fare Calculator. We have a number of new members of the AAC that really weren't aware of the history with the Fare Calculator, and so we did some updating of Fare Calculator, what it does, how it's working, and why it was instituted. And it was an educational issue, and I point out that it's working really well. You'll get the budget numbers as to what effect it has had on increased ridership. I know we all sat through the previous meeting that ridership eligibility is up, but number of rides is down. And that's due to a number of reasons, and mental health issues of being happy with your fares has really improved with the fare calculator. So again, thank you very much for giving us something that we asked for. We're happy folks. In addition to that, we had some subcommittee appointments. And we now have Dr. Brian Miller as officially the chair of Bus Rail Subcommittee. Dr. William Staterman is going to be the vice chair of that committee. And Ms. Heidi Chase, who is a new member of the committee, will be the second vice chair. We decided to follow your model of having two vice chairs because on bus rail we have a chair that takes care of everything. One of our vice chairs will take care of bus, and the other vice chair will take care of rail. So thank you all very much, and hopefully Patrick will be back next month. Any questions? Yes.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Report by the Writers Advisory Council. It's Mr. Ball is not able to be here today, and Barbara Hermanson will deliver the report.
Thank you. I just want to make a few very brief comments about the four items that Ben included in his letter this month. Just to elaborate, give a few comments. First is about the Quest for Pledge discussion. I think many of you are aware that the RAC has been working on trying to craft its vision of what a pledge to customers from Metro might look like. And we've been reminded how hard it is for more than a dozen people to write anything together. And getting into such questions is, well, how much detail is even appropriate? What's too much, what's too little? What words capture what we're trying to do, which is give the riders, let them know what we believe is a reasonable expectation. We have already started to partner with the Accessibility Committee on this because they certainly have an important part of any pledge to customers. And we know that we are slated to work with both the staff and the board, so that it's a real partnership among us. I've also personally volunteered to craft the first draft of what's a reasonable expectation for Metro to have of its customers? Everything from behaving in a safe way while they're in the system to being responsible for reporting things that they see that needs to come to someone's attention. So stay tuned on that. We're still crafting. On the proposed bus changes, Jim Hambry came to visit us at our last meeting, and he always consistently amazes us on how much he knows. I swear he knows every mile of every bus route in this whole metropolitan area. He can answer every question we have, and even though some people have concerns about some specifics, it's a really good feeling to know that we have the buses in his hands. We will, as a RAC, be at the various bus hearings next week, and I want to be there to listen as he gets some feedback as well. And speaking of listening, we had a Virginia session, a listening session with our riders a few months ago, and we are planning one with Maryland in the state of Maryland next month. So you'll hear more about that as soon as the details are finalized. And then finally, about the red line closure, we would love to be your partner in trying to separate fact from fiction and fear about what is or isn't going to happen or is happening with red line, and anything we can do to contribute to that and not perpetuate any kind of fiction, we'd love to contribute on that. Any questions for me?
Any questions? Mr. Boulder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you put on your agenda, perhaps help us with the Silver Line Phase 1 opening?
Sure, anything
and
in particular.
Work with staff, Lynn, who's here somewhere, on how we're proceeding to roll out the Silver Line Phase 1 opening in early next year.
Great. Yes, we'll be happy to put that on our agenda. Thank you. Any others?
Any other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the report. I have a very brief report, although the general manager in his report is going to cover it. I want to recognize the significance of the decision about the gates for the rebuilt system. I know the staff had an interest in a technology that was potentially lower maintenance over a longer period of time, but the authority went out of its way to engage customers about customer preference. And the decision I think the general manager made was the correct one, and I wanted to thank him and the staff for another example of listening to the customers about customer preference. The other is that I wanted to announce that we are now live on having, since this is the 1,388 board meeting, and each board meeting has had a series of resolutions attached to it, it's hard to think about how many resolutions that is. These resolutions are now all accessible by everyone who cares to through our WMATA website. We hope that it is a useful tool for anybody doing any research about any topic of policy or guidance or direction or budget, that it is quickly accessible. We hope that initially, it will be updated quarterly, but hopefully we can get to monthly. And it's, I think, another indication of our interest in being completely transparent to the public. So thanks to all of the staff, and particularly the General Counsel's office, for the effort that went into this. And I want to say I personally appreciate it, but I know that the board does as well. That completes my report, the general manager's report.
I will try to match you in brevity. Good morning.
Good morning.
And board members, as part of our ongoing work to expand the two-way dialogue with our customers and ensure their input is considered in our decision-making, I have three items to update you on today. First one, which the chairman referred to, was that we've selected a more modern clamshell fairgate, which is similar to the style customers see today. We utilize system-wide, I may say, also that this is not the exact one we've chosen. It's just an example. I don't want to give any preference to any vendor. Okay? To be utilized system-wide as part of our new electronic payments program. We took a comprehensive look at passenger throughput, fare evasion control, maintainability, capital and operating costs, and passenger comfort. We conducted focus groups with our riders, which is very important to us, as well as RAC and AAC members to gather input on the latest technologies, including clamshell, sliders, I think we've seen those at some airports, saloon doors, and turnstile gate arrangements. Some of you were also able to see the options that were on display for testing the lower level of the building. The diverse groups of riders who tested the various gate types unanimously supported the clamshell gate for its convenience and aesthetics. The business analysis showed that while the turnstile gates were moderately more expensive over the long run, in my view, that modest cost difference was well worth it in terms of customer satisfaction. So I chose to go with the clamshell gate. New map. The second item is a new rail system map, which you will see this afternoon as part of the Silver Line marketing presentation. You may have seen it this morning in the Washington Post. Thanks to the hard work of our Chief of Staff's office, we worked with the original Metro Rail map designer, Lance Wyman, to update the map to include Silver Line Phase 1 in service and phase two as under construction. Today, we'll see the addition of five new stations in phase one. We received extensive customer feedback for the map online through Mind Mixer, Planet, and Greater Washington. We also conducted three rounds of outreach over 5 months. Hundreds responded, commented on, and voted for map changes. There are several customer design improvements in the new map as examples. Improved geographic accuracy of the stations where possible. A new icon for stations that are serviced by three rail lines. The traditional station dot with white extenders prevailed over the elongated pill-shaped dot. People who did not want us to introduce a completely new type of icon, they found it very confusing. We added the Anacostia National Park, we added the Metro Transit police phone number, and we lightened the beltway and jurisdiction borders to improve readability. Talk about bus outreach a little bit. Finally, we are conducting public hearings next week in all three jurisdictions to get rider feedback about a series of proposed bus service changes. Taken together, the changes improve bus service by a margin of 15 to 1 for customers. The changes will improve service for riders by adding capacity on crowded routes and running time on routes that are challenged by traffic to make schedules more realistic and reliable for customers. Also, service would be added to routes with the greatest ridership demand, and by restructuring and streamlining some routes, we will be able to make these changes cost effectively. We recognize that these changes look very attractive to us, but we want to make sure that when riders understand how it changes their experience, that we have taken their views into consideration before moving forward. I encourage our bus customers to participate in the hearings, and if they can't attend in person, to go online to amada.com/hearings to provide feedback. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Reports by the jurisdiction, the district does not have anything unless Ms. Bowser would like to.
Actually, I wanted to ask a question about a point that the general manager made.
Sure.
And just get some, I've gotten some feedback on one of the scheduled hearings for bus changes that I'm chairing. Yeah, with the request of having an additional location, are we beyond the ability to add a location?
I'm trying to staff that one.
Okay.
I'm told it's already been posted, so it would delay things if we had to add another one.
We'll have to. Well, I can certainly circle back with you and let just kind of share the feedback because I think it may be worthwhile.
Sure.
Thank you.
WSTC, Mr. Nickel. NDTC, Federal Government, Mr. Downey.
I'll let you know next month if we're still in business.
That concludes the agenda, the formal agenda of the meeting. If there are no other items that any board member wants to bring before the committee, I would adjourn the meeting. Thank you.